Dave Plyer with you on 720 WGN. So 170 years ago, when the northwest part of Chicago was pure wilderness, John Kinsey Clark became the first settler in what was to become Jefferson Park. Abram Gale, for whom the street and the now famous Gale Street Inn is now named, built the first frame house there. A little history for you. And for over 50 years, the Gale Street Inn has been renowned for their place for good food, great ribs, steaks, chops, seafood, and just good times. And joining us tonight is the proprietor of the Gale Street, someone who truly embraces and leads his community every day while running his business, is my buddy George Karzis. George, how are you?
Hi, David.
What's happening, my friend?
All good, baby. All good. Thanks for having me on. You're too kind.
Absolutely. You know what? Best ribs in Chicago.
Some of the best ribs in Chicago.
Yeah, that's very...
You can't stand on that hill in the glass house, but we're in the conversation. You're right.
Love your place. I absolutely love your place. And from your lips to our listeners, if you haven't been to the Gale Street, tell us a little bit about your place.
Family. I mean, I guess that's it, right? So, there's a lot of trends that come in and out in the food and culinary world, and certainly a lot more as of recent, since TV has found the celebrity chefs and food and the Food Network and all of that. But, we were doing family. Family's not a trend. Family is family. And so if you take a stab at hospitality and you treat people right, they're going to come back, and then it's generationally coming back. And you can see how the base of the Gale Street Inn business was grown. I'm not saying that you can't be a newcomer to the Gale Street Inn, because people are moving in and out of our neighborhoods all the time. But we have been established on the northwest side. The good families have made the Gale Street Inn what it is, and we take that as a serious challenge to be good and to do our best to serve them on their dining prowess. So it's all good.
And how long have you had the place?
So my dad bought the Gale Street Inn in 1986 from the original owner. The Gale Street Inn started in 1963, up when that neighborhood was was kind of a vibrant shopping district up on the northwest side back in, back in the 70s, 63 to 69. The Gale Street Inn was on one side of Milwaukee Avenue, and when they came in and they put the Blue Line in 1969, they relocated the then Gale Street Inn with the then proprietor, George Cholis, who was another fine Greek man who knew his craft, knew that hospitality is treating people right is what you do, and honoring your community is what you do, and he did a great job until 1986 when he sold it to my dad. Then the Karzis family stepped in, and we have tried to build on the legacy that is the Northwest Side, that was the work that Mr. Cholis had done, and that's what my family's always done, is restaurants and taverns. And so it's been a pleasure to operate one of the destination places on the northwest side.
It is a great neighborhood place. And you talk about family. I mean, my family, I love coming there, because that's what you see. First of all, you always see somebody you know there, and you are just so warm to everybody you see. You'll even hang out if you know somebody, have a drink with some of the families that are hanging out there and say hello. And it's just such a warm atmosphere, for whether you're coming in the bar and grabbing something to eat, or you're hitting the restaurant, or you're having a party there or family celebration. It is great. And I think we've had this conversation before. I am not a chain restaurant guy. I avoid them like the plague, because I don't want my food out of a vat that was shipped in on a truck. I want to have some great, great homemade food and stuff that I know it's the care that I get from your servers, from the bartenders, from your hostesses and hosts. Everybody there has that same mentality to really take care of the customers as they come in, and the food is just absolutely exceptional. You get your ribs, you can do those rib combinations. I love the rib and the fried shrimp and the rib and the lobster. I mean, there's just so, and it's affordable. That's the other thing. From a family of five that I have to come to the restaurant as often as we do, I think it's a great deal every day there.
Well, thanks for saying that. I mean, the food coming out of the kitchen is scratch cooking. The chef is challenged by me and by himself to put out the best. So you start with quality products, and then the other thing you want to reach for is consistency. And I think that's what we've done. We've had a bigger menu at times, but over lately, which has kind of been the trend in the restaurant industry, which is kind of get to be known for your niche, your craft, and while we hang our hat on hospitality and conviviality, we also hang it on our barbecue rib recipe and the quality steaks, seafood that we put next to it. It's important to us. I like to think that after 50 years, we take the risk out of your dining dollar. And I know that I like dollars that. Don't come easy as of late for a lot, and for a lot on the Northwest side. I mean, that's one of our challenges, is to maintain a profitable business while understanding where we're at and pretty much under promising and over delivering. And I think we do a pretty good job of that, of staying even keeled and balanced. And it's like I said earlier, it's a pleasure to see these families come in generation after generation, as well as the new younger people that are moving into the Northwest Corridor, Milwaukee Avenue Corridor, the Northwest Side Corridor is the city's pushing out, and they're coming our way, and we're ready, and we're excited to welcome the new as well as to service the old.
Well, and you have the standards there, but you do keep it fresh as well. So you got some new stuff on there all the time, and you cater. You have private parties, and you do something just phenomenal. You're involved in so many community things in Jefferson Park, but you also take care of a lot of the local non-for-profits too, and you hold a lot of fundraisers there, and you donate a lot back, and that's really a special thing. Not a lot of business owners know how important that is.
Well, I think most small independents like me get hit on a lot by the community, but you have to understand that if you want your community to support you, then you better pay it back. And that's how it works. And as we come up, is tomorrow the support your local, right?
Isn't yep. That yep. It's Small Business Saturday. We talked about that earlier.
And
yeah.
You know what? And so for people to be talking about that and talking about supporting their local, I know that tomorrow night, my restaurant is going to be busy with locals coming to do just what this Cree is asking them to do, and we need to honor that and match that enthusiasm as well as that support, and that's what it's about. It's a round world, I like to say. And as far as the charity goes, and those events, we're happy to do them. We started in 2013 by doing a lot of them, and now we kind of somewhat pick and choose where we do our Tuesday night events. I call them the Tuesday Night Social Club, and if any of your listeners there can tell me that on a Tuesday night they can gather 100 to 150 people that are willing to pay $50 per person to come in for a couple hours of food, drink, and social, that I will take their $50 and give it right back to the organization. And I love that. I love watching these guests come in and have their time. And, we show off our place a little bit. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I realize there's a marketing opportunity there where guests can come in and touch my help. And believe me, you don't get to be 52 years old without great help. And I ride the backs of my workers, Larry Coppolino behind the bar, Jill Reddy, general manager, Adriana Guerrero, assistant manager, Gil Rico, bar manager. These are Laborio Martinez chefs since 1996. I am crazy lucky to have that kind of support. And we know where our bread is buttered. It's buttered with the public. It's buttered with the public trust. Come on in. Trust us, you're going to have a good time, and it's working out good. And again, I thank you for put me on the air here tonight.
Well, I tell you, I love that. I love that you give it right back to the charity too. That's pretty cool stuff. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about a hot topic in the restaurant industry right now, and that's tipping versus no tipping. We'll talk about that next on 720 WGN. Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to the owner of the Best Ribs Joint on the planet. That's the Gale Street Inn, located at Jefferson Park, 4914 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. George, welcome back. You know, we've got some restaurants. I had to talk to you about this. In New York and Chicago, experimenting with this no-tipping policy. And that's checks that included no line for tips, no mandatory service charge, food beverage tax, that's it. They've openly said they've had to raise prices significantly to cover this. In Chicago, there's another restaurant called Wildwood that's done away with tipping. Essentially, as a small business, you'd be paying much higher wages. I mean, much higher. How could a small business owner afford this? I mean, where do you stand on this debate?
Well, you know, I start with the fact that how I broke into this business, basically, other than being the son of a son of a restaurant tavern man, by being a waiter. I worked at James Tavern Restaurant at Northbrook Court in 1978. I got that fix of standing in front of a table for an hour and a half and getting a 20% tip on a $75 bill, getting $15, 20%. You know, I look at that means I'm good, I did good, and let me get on to my next 20% tip. And that's kind of how I plowed through my evening.
It's a motivator. It's a motivator.
Motivator based on performance, absolutely. But you know, as I've aged here, and I obviously I'm no longer in for the 20% that's going in on the table for my servers, but I'm a piece of the whole pie. So I can kind of get how a house could put a service charge on top of a bill and say, hey, you want to come to the Gale Street Inn? You want to come to this consistently good place and experience this hospitality, these great ribs, these great steaks and fish? And we, you know, I don't want to say that we, you know, I'm not going to stand here in front of you and say we do everything great, because I understand that niches are where you want to be. But everything we attempt, you know, is okayed by two or three of us, and we say this is good for our guests at the Gale Street Inn. So I say to my customers, trust us, come in and tell me that you weren't served well. Tell me that you weren't fed well. Let's put perhaps a service charge on there and see where we go. But I can also understand where waiters might think that individually they can make a little bit more of a difference for themselves. So it's an interesting topic. As I mentioned to you in a conversation recently, the credit card tips are coming in. You know, there's so much less cash going on right now in the restaurant business, and a lot of it is credit card business anyway. People are writing their 18 to 20%. That's what the Gale Street Inn waiters average is, 18%. So if I was to put that 18% on your bill and say there's no tipping, then let's just get all this monetary stuff out of the way and let's make it about the work and your meal and your good time, right? The focus isn't on us as much then as it's on you. And you can decide at the end whether or not you want to come back and join us, or whether or not you're moving down the road.
No, I know. There's a place in Logan Square that just took you know, the tip line off, just added 18%. But I got to tell you, and you know, I feel like I'm a good tipper. I was looking at this study from Technomic done in Chicago, 2014. 57% of U.S. diners tip more than 15%. Of that, 44% lead between 16 and 20. But for me, you want to pay your server based on the quality of service you get. And there's two ways to think about this. Is that, you know, it is a motivator when you're in the service industry to work hard and really, you know, make sure that your customers are served a great meal and it's a great experience. It does feel gratifying, you know, for someone who's worked in this industry too long ago that you did a great job and you're being rewarded. But at the same time, as a consumer, I don't want I don't want that added to my bill. I guess I get it when it's a big party, but, you know, I'd like to be able to, you know, at the end of the day, say, boy, they did a really great job. Maybe it's 22%. Maybe it's whatever, because I had such a great experience for my family or whatever it might be, my business dinner. I think I still want to keep that in my hands so that I can be thankful for or criticize what kind of service I got.
Yeah, you want to show your appreciation, and I understand that. I think that, you know, Dave, you've come to the Gale Street Inn now for several years. You've been on our radar. You bring your friend Dean Richards in. That gets us on our radar, and nobody gets more smiles and waves inside of our restaurant than Dean Richards. Might be Nick DiGilio, but other than, and I say that with a smile, but you come to trust the house. You're in a good place. You want to come in and let's be inside the environment. Let's experience this. And this is what it costs me. There's no coupons. There's no Groupons. This is what it costs to have your good time here. And if you didn't feel like you were treated right, move along. If you thought you got your value, go get it. I mean, sometimes I go around and I'll either be in a coffee house or I'll be at the turn on a golf course, and those tip jars are sitting out there, and I kind of get a little confused sometimes as to what it is that we're paying for. And Danny Meyer out of New York, who kind of started this tipping controversy, he wants to get his cooks involved. He wants to bring the back of the house mixed in with this front of the house service charge so he can get his cooks up to a higher, professional wage, so to speak. And that's what's facing our industry right now, is how to balance that front of the house, back of the house. And look, Danny Meyer is one of the most successful guys in our business there is. And so we're all watching kind of to see how that goes. He's kind of guaranteed his front of the house the same money they made last year, they're going to make this year. And then going forward, they're going to reevaluate. He may be in for a surprise. He may not be, but look, the restaurant business isn't the only business that's under change, under some sort of, not scrutiny, but just some sort of auditing, it's interesting. You know, it's 2015. Chipotle's and Panera's and these fast casual restaurants are doing it for a reason, and that separation of the high-end restaurant and that lower tier restaurant is going to be that much more noticeable, dare I say, like the one percenters and the rest. But the I just think that if you're in that middle ground of restaurant, you're in a tough place. You either want to go for full service or you want to go for minimum labor, getting out a great product a little bit faster with a little bit less service, but to where the guest is not, you know, totally compromised, where the guest experience is not compromised. And you know, these millennials now, like my friend, my good friend, Jack McCarthy, these millennials want to quit. They're not looking for this big, full experience right now. They're looking to come in, feed me well, tell me where my food is coming from, and let me go. It's not such a production anymore.
Well, so. And the debate continues. And for the best rib, steak, chops, and seafood. And the debate goes on. For the best rib, steaks, chops, seafood anywhere in Chicagoland. Music during the week. Great New Year's event, too. 4914 North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago. It's the Gale Street Inn. For reservations, holiday catering, more, call 773-725-1300 or visit galestreet.com. And stop by and say hey to George. Thanks, buddy.